الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي جعل هذه الأمة منابر هدى وقدوة صالحة ليقتدي بها الأولون وليقتدي بها الآخرون. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى الآل وصحبه الكرام. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ألا فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكما ورد في الرواية وكل ضلالة في النار. ألا تتقوا الله عباد الله، وتمسكوا من الإسلام بالعروة الوثقى، واحذروا غضب الرب فإن إرشادكم على النار لا تقوى. أوصيكم الله أن أجرنا بهذا. If he obeys belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, we pray to him and we seek his assistance and guidance. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever he misguides, none can guide. And peace and salutation be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. O servant of Allah, and O children of Adam, indeed all praises belong to Allah for the many blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered upon us. From these blessings is the blessing of this day, the day of Jumu'ah, the best day upon which the sun rises. As told to us in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, أفضل يوم طلعت عليه الشمس يوم الجمعة، فيه خلق آدم وفيه يدخل الجنة وفيه يخرج منها ولا تقوم الساعة إلا في يوم الجمعة. That the best day upon which the sun rises is this day of Jumu'ah. On this day Allah created Adam alayhi salam, and on this day Allah entered into paradise, and on this day Allah removed you from paradise. And the coming of the hour will not occur except on a Friday, except on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah when the coming of the hour arrives. Ameen. The topic for today's lecture and khutbah is the reawakening of the Muslim era. And the term reawakening denotes something that used to exist and then ceased to exist, and the need to bring about the previous existence. The reawakening of the Muslim era. For us to understand the term reawakening of the Muslim era, we must look into the term Muslim and by default Islam. For the term Islam, O servant of Allah and O children of Adam, has several meanings. The most common that we share with each other is the meaning of peace. But even more real in terms of the meaning of Islam is submission. Submission to the will of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the moment that you are living in. This is the reality of Islam. To submit. That before you speak, you ask yourself. That this speech that I'm going to share, is it beloved to Allah or not? If it is, I will do it. If it's not, I will refrain from it. For that is submission. Before you act, you ask yourself, that this act that I'm going to do, is it beloved to Allah or not? If it is, you will do it. If it isn't, you will refrain from it. And this again is the true meaning of submission. And that is why our scholars, after the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they describe Islam of having a specific nature and context and a general nature and context. In terms of the general nature and context of Islam, then it refers to everyone who died upon the message of the Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them before the advent of the next Prophet. So the followers of Musa who passed away upon the message of Musa before the advent of Isa alayhi salam, they were Muslims. And included in this general context are those who lived upon the message of a prophet and then met the following prophet and accepted his message and died upon his message, like the followers of Musa, who then followed the message of Isa alayhi salam and passed away upon the message of Isa before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They too are considered Muslims. Those are all Muslims. Why? They were submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment that they lived in. When Isa came and they heard what the will of Allah was, they accepted it. They submitted. And those who didn't submit and fought Isa alayhi salam, they disbelieved after being. For they were upon the message of Musa and then disbelieved in the message of Musa, for they didn't follow the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment when they were told to follow Isa alayhi salam. And the same applies to the followers of Isa who found out about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the general meaning of Islam. It includes anyone who submits to the will of Allah. And then specifically, it refers to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who declare Allah as one and accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger, they have submitted to the will of Allah, and this will was shared with the Ummah upon the tongue of previous prophets like Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. And Allah tells us in the Quran how Isa told his people about the coming of the next messenger whose name was Ahmed. So this is Islam, to submit. And Islam, as we understand it to be, is Islam and submission, entails a submission after submission. And that submission after submission entails that you, as a Muslim, after accepting Allah as one and accepting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger, as you submitted to the will of Allah in this matter, you submit to everything that Islam entails. And this is what the reawakening of the Muslim era, based on the idea and intention of those who presented this topic to me, entails. That we as Muslims live as Muslims. We walk the talk. We don't just say we are Muslims, but what we say is present in our speech. What we say is present in our action. What we say is present in our appearance. What we say is present in our thoughts. What we say is present in our conduct. That we are Muslims, and we are Muslim fathers, Muslim mothers, Muslim siblings and community members, Muslim citizens, and so on and so forth. That in all these spheres of life, our identity as a Muslim the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made manifestly clear. And there's no better example for us. And there's many examples. And I say no better after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, than to look at the Prophet of the last Islamic month that we just lived through, the month of Dhul-Hijjah. For no doubt, the highlight Prophet of that month was Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then his son Ismail alayhi salam, and his wife Hajar and Sarah alayhi salam, and his nephew Lut alayhi salam. These were inspirational human beings. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was so inspirational that he was a man of men. So inspirational that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't describe him as a man, but described him as an entire nation. As an entire nation. Subhanallah. And Allah raises him in rank and gives him the title of Khalilullah. Subhanallah. No prophet held this title besides two, Ibrahim alayhi salam and our beloved messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah raised him in rank and made him from amongst the Ul-Azmi min al-Rusul, the prophets of absolute results. And only five prophets enjoyed this station, enjoyed this rank. And they were Nuh alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, gather us within the Jannah. So what do they do to become this? What did Ibrahim alayhi salam do to receive these titles from Allah? To be described as a nation, to be described as the Khalid, to be described as a prophet of absolute results. My dear servants of Allah and children of Adam, it was none other than true submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is who he was. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Allah says Ibrahim was not a Jew and he was not a Christian, but he was an upright, submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand this and understand it well, that this is where izzah is, this is where honor is, this is where the reawakening is. It is in submitting to the will of Allah and living your title as the servant of Allah to the best of your ability, O servant of Allah and O child of Adam. Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up and was born in Babylon. In Arabic we call this Babil. And the leader of the time was Namrud. In English we announce him as Nimrod. A king who was mighty in his possession. And some of the historians and scholars of Tafsir say that Namrud had a kingdom that could match and rival the kingdom of Zulqarnain. Another king, a just king, a praiseworthy king that we read about every time. This was the nature of Namrud. But he wasn't upon the nature of Zulqarnain. He was a tyrant king who practiced tyranny. A pompous king. And Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in a community that worshipped idols. And not only did he grow up in a community that worshipped idols, but he grew up in a home whereby his very own father, who was a carpenter, manufactured the idols. His dilemma was greater than the dilemma of anyone else in the community teaching idols. Anyone else in the community working with their fitrah, working with the natural disposition, which is one of the wahidah submission to one Allah. Why? Because his own father is the manufacturer, not just the worshiper. He is manufacturer plus worshiper. But subhanAllah, look how he submits to the will of Allah. He doesn't accept himself becoming part and party of the status quo. No. He doesn't belittle the haqqa and the truth by trying to bring different explanations and different emotions to it. He doesn't want to remove the truth from the podium that it is on and move it to another podium. Why? Because that is oppression. He doesn't want to do this.
He doesn't want to give the haqq an identity crisis. Today we talk about the identity crisis of the 21st century. Right? Running in a maze, youth in a daze, as some we know. Right? Identity crisis. Are we Muslim first or Muslim second? Are we a national before being a Muslim or a Muslim before being a national? Do we put the 21st century first or do we put Islam first? Ibrahim alayhi salam never let the truth have an identity crisis. وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ. Allah says if we allow the truth to follow the desires of people, to have an identity crisis, mass corruption would have engulfed the heavens and the earth. That's the reality. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, instead of following the masses, he respectfully questions what does the nation do. And this is from the tools of reawakening the Muslim era, the era of submission. Critical thinking. How many of us critically think? Our cultures teach us practices. We practice it believing it's religion. Even though it brings about negativities, and we know there are negativities, but we don't ponder over them and don't give it importance. Why? Because it's a norm that we have become part of. We want to be a product of the environment rather than being a catalyst for a new and more proactive environment. We're not being like Ibrahim alayhi salam, we're not generalizing, but this is for us to ponder over. He questioned when no one was questioning. But he wasn't arrogant. There's a difference between arrogantly disrespecting somebody's values and trying to sincerely make sense of it. He turns to his father, Ya Abati, oh my dear father. And there's 10 ways, and I see many of the students here, mashallah, you would know, there's 10 ways to call out to your parents in the Arabic language. The softest, most respectful, most gentlest of these ways is to say Abati or Abati. Oh my dearest, most beloved father, why do you continuously worship? مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ لَكُمْ doesn't ever hear. وَلَا يُبْصِرُ it doesn't ever see. وَلَا يُغْنِي it doesn't benefit you in any way. It doesn't harm you in any way. It can't help you in any way. Make me understand. Ya Abati, oh my dear father, la ta'budi shaytan. Don't worship shaytan. Don't worship him. He is shaytan to mankind. He's an enemy. He's not our friend. Where did this come from? Ibrahim's father is opposite to Ibrahim. He's allowed his disposition to be the property of the status known. So he cannot tolerate his stern questioning beliefs that existed since a long time. His grandfather was doing it, his great grandfather was doing it. How dare you question this? You better stop what you did, Ibrahim. If you don't, distance yourself from a very far distance. As if you put someone in the sanctuary. He was being threatened to be sanctioned. And we don't know what that just means in the 21st century today, right? Or you'll be stoned. This is how he's being spoken back to you. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanAllah, and this is true to him, being a person who respects him. He told his father, سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. I'll ask my Lord to forgive me. And he did so until Allah prevented him from this. This is submission. For he continuously tried da'wah with his community. When he first with his father, he tried to instigate critical thinking in his people. He went and chopped off or smashed one of the idols, left the axe with the big one. When they came to him and said, did you do this? He said, God's the big one. What is he trying to do? He's not trying to disrespect them. He's trying to recalibrate the internal mechanisms of submission so that you are not thinking right, my community. Ask the big one. If they indeed move and benefit you and can create harm and can answer your prayers, go ask the big one. And they knew that he is right. They knew, if you look at the context of the story in the Quran, they knew that they have been dumbfounded, that he has established the truth. But arrogance kicked in, and it's arrogance that stops us from becoming an ummah of submission. And throughout the life of Ibrahim, he goes through these tests. Allah tests him. He leaves Babylon. He goes to Sham, which is modern day Palestine, Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon. This is that time, it was a bigger region known as Sham. Over there, he finds people worshipping other than Allah, the sun, the moon, the stars. And Allah tells in another part of the Quran how Ibrahim instigated critical thinking in them, where he told them when he saw the stars that this must be my Lord. But when the moon came, he goes, no, the stars must be my Lord. The moon must be my Lord. And when the moon disappeared and the sun came, he goes, no, I worship the sun, it's bigger. This must be my Lord. But he said, this must be my Lord, it's bigger. It's Akbar, it's bigger than the moon, bigger than the star. And when he disappeared, he goes, I don't like things to appear and disappear. Indeed, I worship the creator and Lord of all these things that come in. He's trying to instigate their critical thinking, make them think. Then from there he leaves because there's a drought. He comes to Egypt. He finds a tyrannical king again. And Ibrahim reaches a stage, subhanAllah, where he feels there's no one on earth who submits to the will of Allah besides him. And Lut alayhi salam, who was his nephew, and his wife Sarah. And in Egypt he was given Hajar, and she submitted to his message. He looked around him and felt that from Babylon to Sham to Egypt, I don't find people submitting to the will of Allah. And Ibrahim decides to bring a new strategy into his life, and that is to make dua for a time. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi wahin wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bi hadhihi sayyidi taqallaita farkutuna qult wa astaghfirullah al-azim al-jalil wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin min kulli dhanbi wa khati'ah fastaghfiru innahu kana ghaffara wa tubu ilayhi innahu kana tawwaba. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله وخيرته من خلقه صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين فإنه ترفل على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد فاتقوا الله عباد الله واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. أو سبب الله أن رسولنا آدم إبراهيم عليه السلام من الدعاء والرجل رب هب لي من الصالحين. أو الله grant me righteous children. He doesn't want children for his shop. He doesn't want children for his business. He doesn't want children so he has someone to look after him in old age. He really wants to submit to the will of Allah and wants the creation of Allah to submit to him. But rarely does he see submissions to the will of Allah. So he decides, I'm going to raise a family of submissions who will raise families of submissions. And this way we will create communities of submissions. So he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays giving him his request until Ibrahim alayhi salam is around the age of 90, according to some of the scholars of tafsir, Ismail alayhi salam is born. And then when Ismail is around the age of 2, just when it becomes more fun to be with your boy, right? The boy can move, he can talk, he can play, he doesn't sleep a lot, he eats different foods. Now it's the most amazing time because the child has grown up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the Islam of Ibrahim when he submits. He commands him to take Ismail and his mother to the middle of nowhere. Yes, the middle of nowhere. It wasn't Mecca then, it was the middle of nowhere. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a human being. He's a father, he's a husband. No doubt he felt what he felt. He felt what any father would feel. He felt what any husband would feel. He doesn't want to make it harder for himself. He wants to submit to the will of Allah. So he doesn't speak to his wife. He takes her and puts on the riding animal of Ismail and starts moving in the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him. He was moving. There's no record of Hazel complaining, radiallahu anha. And this shows what a family of submission is, that she trusted her husband. And when they finally reach their destination after a long, long journey, which lasted a long, long time, it wasn't just a journey of days or service of Allah. It was a long journey of difficulty. Ibrahim silently removes them from the mountain and makes them sit down near where the well of Zamzam is today, and he starts walking off back to Palestine. And now Hajar speaks out, but not because she's disrespectful to her husband, but because it's a mother's instinct. That I'm here in the middle of nowhere with little food, what will happen to our son? So she calls out to him and says, you're leaving us. He doesn't want to leave Hajar. He wants to submit to the word of Allah. He puts Allah first. This is istislam. This is Islam. So he knows his weakness. If I turn around, it's going to make my submission to the word of Allah harder. He doesn't. She repeats, you're leaving us here. There's nothing here. Nothing besides two mountains, Baba and Marwa, that we know of today. And he doesn't turn back. And then she says, did Allah command you to leave us here? And here Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions. So his wife understands that if this is the command of Allah, then it was never Ibrahim who looked after us. It was who? Allah, and he will look after us. And the days go by, and the provisions finish, and the father returns back to Palestine yearning for his child, but submitting to the will of Allah and putting his trust in Allah that everything is okay because he has sacrificed for the sake of Allah. That type of sacrifice is an investment. And Hajar now realizes that a problem is coming to me. Ibrahim's not come back. There's no water. Ismail is crying. Not once does she complain. She doesn't complain about Allah. Not once does she complain about Allah. She complains only to Allah. And she takes the means. This is submission. She doesn't have anything to do but climb the mountain. She climbs the mountain. And she looks right and looks left, she sees nothing. She runs to the next mountain. In between the two mountains is a valley. When she enters that valley, she can't see her son. This is the mother's instinct. She knows there's no one who's going to harm him. But she runs because she cannot, why, she cannot stand not seeing her child for that moment. So she runs through the valley, gets up, can see her son is safe, and walks, gets to the other side of the, gets to the other mountain. She climbs the mountain. She sees nothing. She keeps on doing this until Allah wills, and on the seventh round, she hears a sound. As is the hadith in the Sahih, she turns around and sees the angel by her son. And the reporter of the hadith says that she saw either the heel of the angel or the wing of the angel tapping the ground, and water starts gushing out. La ilaha illallah. This is the result of submission or service of Allah. When you put Allah first, you will never ever be back. That well of Zamzam exists till today. Safa Marwa exists till today. Last month, Hujjaj were running between it. Every other month, the people of Umrah run between it. Why? What is the significance of running between two mountains? Many of us run, but we don't think that this running, Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ, from the signs of Allah, the signs of Allah's existence, the signs of Allah's tawheed, that is the only one worthy of worship. When you run between Safa and Marwa, you run because one day a woman who truly submitted to the will of Allah, who put Allah first, ran between these two mountains. Allah loved you so much that he decreed it will be a sign of his existence and it will last until the end. That is legacy. We all hear about legacy and leadership. That is legacy. There was no Facebook, Google, YouTube, satellite broadcasting to the world, woman running between two mountains, but wallahi, who doesn't know about she? Then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Ibrahim and his Islam when Ismail is 14 years old, around the age of 12 to 14. For during the days of Dhul Hijjah, Allah gives Ibrahim a dream that he is sacrificing his son. That you always put Allah first, ya Ibrahim. and you wanted a son for the sake of Allah, Ya Ibrahim, Allah will test you and your father. Is Allah truly still first? Ibrahim alayhi salam recurring in his dream. On the 8th of Al-Hijjah, known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, it is said, Tarwiyah, from Rawwa, Yawwi, Tarwiyatan, refers to playing something back from him, pondering over it. From its meaning, it's also the water, because on the 8th of Al-Hijjah, the Hujjaj will carry all the water and feed the camel. But it also said that it's called Tarwiyah because on that day Ibrahim pondered over the dream. And on the night, Yawm Arafah, and Arafah means to know, Ibrahim knew what the dream meant. So he addressed his son. Now this is a human being. Imagine Ibrahim is thinking, when I was small, my father left me to die. He let them throw me into a fire. Now I have to tell my son that I'm going to put a knife to his neck. I know how I felt as a father, when I was a young boy, when my father did what he did. Here I want to teach Tawheed. I want the child to remain for the sake of Tawheed. But Allah comes first. So he addresses his son. And his son replies back and says, my dear father, the same word Ibrahim said to his father when he told his father, don't worship Shaytan. My dear father, don't worship Shaytan. Ismail is telling his father, my dear father, worship one another. Do what Allah has told you to do. Inshallah, you'll find me from the nation. He's basically saying, my dear father, worship one Allah, don't worship me. Put Allah first before me. That's what he's saying. Subhanallah. Which means Ibrahim raised his son from afar. And he said that he traveled regularly up and down between Mecca and Palestine, so he would give the tarbiyah to his child. Subhanallah. Then on the 10th, Yawm al-Nahr, the day of the sacrifice, Ibrahim takes Ismail. And as he takes him, it's a father's nature. He's walking out of Mecca, going towards Mina, with this boy. He's my only son. He's the hope of Tawheed after me. A father feels what he feels. And he remembers Allah, the teaching himself to remain insufficient. Allah, Akbar, Allah. La ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa ilaha illa Allah. We all know the zikr, right? And we know how specific it is in the days of Hajj. He's teaching himself, Allah is greater than me, Ya Ibrahim. Allah is greater than my son, Ya Ibrahim. Allah is greater than my emotions, Ya Ibrahim. La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everything. Walillahi alhamd, all praises belong to Him. And he repeats, when the shayateen comes to try and swerve him, because imagine Iblis, he's seeing this, nothing can defeat this man. He keeps on submitting. We need to send reinforcements. Iblis sends three shayateen. And those stones are exalted. Why? Somebody might say, why are we throwing stones on stone? What is the wisdom? The wisdom is, it's an act of submission that a man once upon a time did in submission to Allah during the greatest trial of his life. When the shayateen told him that what is wrong with you? This is your son. This is the hope of Tawheed. This is craziness. This is not from human nature. Ibrahim tells them, say, Allah is greater. Allah is greater. Allah is greater than you and what you say. And Allah knows best. And whatever Allah does, He does good. I am going to complete the command of Allah at any cost. Subhanallah. Submission. Submission. He takes Ismail. He lays him on the plank that Ismail would be laid on, and he starts sharpening the knife. Imagine what's going through his father's mind. Can you imagine this, O servants of Allah? And he's teaching himself, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. He's teaching himself to go through with it, to put Allah first. And then he takes the knife and he puts it on the neck of his son. Maybe the command of Allah will come and Allah will say, you don't have to do it now, Ya Ibrahim. But there's nothing. Maybe when I was sharpening the knife, Allah would have changed the rules. There's nothing. Now the knife is on the neck of my son. There's nothing. There's nothing. You have to go through. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا Allahu Akbar. Allah says, when they both submitted to the will of Allah, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ Ibrahim turned his son to the side. He doesn't want to see his face. He doesn't want to see it. And then fighting for the sake of Allah. But then the help of Allah comes in our present. Allah says, now قَدْ فَدَّقْتَ رُّيَا. When you did the act, now you submitted, Ya Ibrahim. Now it's submission. When there's nothing between your son and the death of your son, in your mind, besides his life, but in reality, besides Allah. And you follow through, the help of Allah comes. Just like Allah helped you, Ibrahim, when you were a small boy, and there was nothing between you and the fire besides air. You landed in the fire, but Allah made the fire cool. You submitted to the creator of everything in creation, the one upon whom everything is dependent upon. No fire burns by itself. The fire burns because of the will of Allah. No knife cuts because of itself. The knife cuts because of the will of Allah. You have submitted to the will of Allah and submitted to Allah. Now you have completed the dream. Now you have completed the objective. Now you have completed the mission. This is the reality of submission, my dearest brothers and elders in Islam, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. This is submission. Submitting to the will of Allah in the moment that you are in for the sake of Allah. Irrespective of circumstance and reality, that you are the servant of Allah before anything else. This is Islam. This is Islam. And this is why Ibrahim alayhi salam put so much barakah in this world, like the Hajj and the Umrah that we do. And also, many don't know that because of the barakah of Ibrahim, mass punishment left the earth. No nation was punished in completion after Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because of the barakah of the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He wasn't one man, he was a nation of servants of Allah, of children of Adam. Where are the men among us? Where are the men amongst us? Today we only want comfort. We only do it if it's comfortable for us. Right? Somebody is doing a great cause, they're looking for donations. Maybe you're building a masjid here, and I believe you are. You put your hand in your pocket and give what's comfortable. Somebody needs time, you give what's comfortable. It's only comfortable for me to give Allah this. You first give your time to everything else, whatever's left over and comfortable, you give to Allah. Wallahi wa billahi wa shallahi. Allah doesn't want from you comfort, He wants from you effort. It was a merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna sil'at Allah ghali. The merchandise of Allah is expensive. Earn it. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worth it. You know, some people say, Shaykh, in the da'wah, I'm getting this, they call it da'wah fatigue. Now we have donor fatigue. Too many causes to donate to. Too many people need help. What fatigue is this? For Jannah, you're getting tired? Who gets tired building Jannah? Who gets tired building Jannah? You're not going to last you forever. You can't have fatigue from anything that is going to help you here after which lasts forever. You can't have fatigue from anything that pleases your Lord and Wallahi. Whatever you give Allah, He will give you back and more. Ibrahim alayhi salam gave Ismail to Allah. He gave Ismail to Allah. What did Allah do? Allah gave Ismail back to Ibrahim. And then after Ismail, He gave him Ishaq. And after Ishaq, He gave him Yaqub. Right? He was begging for righteous offspring. Allah gave him one. And when He gave that one to Allah, Allah gave him a progeny of prophets, not just righteous offspring. Allah, every prophet after Ibrahim is related to Ibrahim. Every prophet after Ibrahim is related to Ibrahim by Ishaq alayhi salam, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is related to Ibrahim by Ismail alayhi salam. My dear brothers and others, Islam, the reawakening of the Muslim Ummah, really is about learning to put Allah first, for Allah, if you do, you will never ever be last. May Allah bless us from His words and inspire us from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And before him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. May Allah bless his words and grant us better than we dream of in both worlds. Ameen. May Allah forgive our past and inspire our future and make us men
of this ummah, those who will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, while he's smiling, because we were not turned away by the angels, because we submitted to the will of Allah, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen.